This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Today we wrap up our last installment of our jazz series. We've talked about many of the jazz greats, Dizzy Gillespie, John Coltrane, Charlie Parker, and Miles Davis, to name a few. But what about those whose names we don't know? Many jazz artists may not be getting the name recognition that their talent deserves. Billy Childs is a Grammy Award-winning pianist, composer, and arranger. He's here with us to talk about the challenges of trying to make it big in a tough music game. Also joining the discussion is singer-songwriter Robert MacArthur. He's just released his debut album, That's Me. Welcome, gentlemen.
It's good to be here.
Good day.
Well, you know, Billy, we're actually playing your music right now, so let me start with you. You started playing the piano at age 6, and when did you know this is what you wanted to do for a living?
Well, actually, I started at age 6 with piano lessons, but it kind of went in one ear and out the other. And then my parents sent me to this boarding school for boys called Midland, and that was around age 14, and in the absence of anything else to do, I saw a piano in there in the kind of mess hall, study hall, and I just gravitated towards it.
You know, so have you felt like this was a calling or a job, or you know, what does jazz and playing jazz mean to you?
It never felt like a job to me. It's always, I guess you would call it a calling. It was something that I knew I wanted to do the moment that I started playing, about age 14 or so, age 14, 15. I knew that I was having so much fun, and I couldn't imagine doing anything else, that this is what I wanted to do.
And so how do you define success?
How do I define success? First of all, by discovering what you want to do in life, what you feel passionate about, and then doing it I would call success being able to do what you love for a living.
Robert, what about you? How would you define success?
I'd almost have to say the same thing. I think success is now, success for me would be performing in jazz clubs, top jazz clubs. That would be success for me.
Well, I mean, do you get that opportunity?
Sometimes. The majority of the time I'm with people like Donald Walden. He's really given me a shot before he passed. He was giving me a shot with top musicians, and that was quite enjoyable.
Well, right now we're going to listen to your song, That's Me, the same title of your debut album.
I think that life is not always what they seem to be. And if you like the sound of what you get, it's what you see. Then I think it's time you ought to want to take a chance with me. Don't keep wasting time.
So tell me a little bit more about your career path. I mean, you say sometimes you get a chance to play in top venues, but Robert, sometimes it sounds like you don't. I mean, what's it like on the month-to-month, the year-to-year, trying to make this a career as well as a passion?
I think when I started, they were using a lot of female artists, and the males were on the back burner. So I had to go into different revenues, doing background work. I was never able to solo because of singing jazz. And jazz is not for everybody. Everybody can't play jazz. You know, I mean, you have to have the musicians to make it believable.
Billy, we've asked some of the people who've come on before to give us their favorite artist. We'll ask you about that a little bit later. But what do you think makes an artist amazing? Not just good, but amazing.
Wow, that's a hard one. I would say if they play something or sing something or do something that you absolutely have to have in your life, there's And amazing is a different definition for different people. What I think is amazing may not be what you think is amazing, and vice versa. The ones that I gravitate towards that I think are amazing are the ones that play something that is surprising to me, yet works, that has a logic to it, but still manages to surprise me.
Give me the name of someone who you think is a great artist, but who folks might not know about.
Well, I would say that, Steve Wilson is a sax player that is amazing. I also think that, a lot of people in the jazz community know about him, but in the larger scheme, Kenny Kirkland is he's probably the most influential jazz pianist of my generation. You know, he passed away, unfortunately, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, but he was just a genius, I think.
Robert, what about you? Who would you name that's kind of under the radar that we should know about?
One guy that comes to mind is trumpeter Dwight Adams. He's a young guy, and he is really, every time I've seen him, he's just almost spellbinding. And he has he has mastered his horn at a young age, and he's just great.
Do you go out and listen to live jazz a lot yourself?
Yes, I do. In fact, I whenever like somebody like Dwight in town or if he's appearing at a club, I'll go down and hear him because he's worth hearing. A lot of times when you're with Dwight, you'll see James Carter because they work together a lot. So it's a double treat.
Now, in case folks are just tuning in, you are listening to NPR's News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea, and we're wrapping up our jazz series by talking about musicians getting their due. With us today, we've got Grammy Award-winning pianist Billy Childs and singer-songwriter Robert MacArthur. And, Billy, you are not really under the radar. I mean, after all, you've won a couple of Grammy Awards. Your CD Lyric was nominated for Best Jazz Instrumental Album in 2006. And so let's listen to your Grammy Award-winning song, Into the Fire. My apologies, it's actually called Into the Light, and it reminds me of kind of echoes of some of the medieval music, you know, with lutes and flutes. Yeah. How did you come up with it?
I never heard that analogy, but it works. How did I come up with it? Well, I have this concept that is certainly not new. It's called jazz chamber music, basically the attempt to marry jazz with classical in an organic way. And so that involves, instruments like string quartet, string violin, viola, cello, and harp. I decided to add harp and acoustic guitar to the mix because I just like the sound of those strings, and it kind of blended together in this sound. But yeah, it does have this kind of Renaissance medieval, with flutes and stuff like that.
I mean, do you think that it's harder for you because you're mixing genres to find an audience rather than doing something that's very mainstream?
Well, it would have been harder maybe 10 years ago, but with the internet, with things like MySpace and people can find you, and you can also kind of focus your search to find those those people who would like your music. I mean, the world has 6 billion people in it. There's got to be maybe 100,000 that like my music. So, you know, it's a little bit easier to find them.
Well, I want to come back to you on that point, but first I'll ask you, Robert. Both of you gentlemen actually independently distribute your music. Robert, how do you do it? What do you do?
Well, I'm on the internet. I have a website. I'm really just started the website. I have different people around the country that's actually heard me. I've been around a while, and they're actually trying to help me. So I'm sending packages and stuff around.
Do you find that you have to work harder to, you know, get your music out there than someone who's on a label that does the distribution and the marketing?
Yes, it's a lot harder. You have a lot of guys, I know guys that have CDs that are great, but getting them out and distribution is very, extremely hard.
Billy, what's your experience with the business end of things?
Well, I agree with Robert that it's you take more on yourself when you distribute your own stuff. However, I kind of, you know, I've been doing this like myself for a long time. Well, on the one hand, it's kind of a double-edged sword what's happening now, this new musical paradigm, in the sense that the artist, you know, record companies are just cutting back on out of necessity. You know, they're taking a beating, basically, the music industry. So only those artists that they know are going to sell are the ones that get the deals, and the rest of us are kind of left to fend for ourselves, which is cool. I've always been self-motivated, you know, so I, you know, don't, I have no problem with trying to collect the funds to record my own CD. That way I'm answerable to nobody in terms, just because they invested money in my project. You know, they've a lot of times feel like they should have an opinion on how the music should go. That's alleviated. And then you, the main challenge is marketing your CD. And there's a lot of ways you can market it through the internet or through getting a publicist and printed advertising through, you know, doing interviews like this, you know. It's open. I look at it in a positive way. It's very exciting to me.
Well, Robert, this is the very last in our jazz series. And I want to ask you, who do you think folks should tune into that they may not know about?
I think somebody that should be heard is Naima Chambrage. She's a singer, songwriter, and I think they should really check her out.
Billy, what do you think?
Also, there's this amazing vocalist here in Los Angeles named Dwight Tribble, who I really think is a remarkable singer. You know, he sings with such passion and emotion. You know, he's really great.
And you also told us about someone named Martin Bejarano.
Yes.
And a song, we're going to play a little bit of a song called Bouncing with Bud.
Yeah.
So why do you connect to that?
You know, he just has, you know, I've never met him. I just heard him on a couple of things with Roy Haynes, who he plays with a lot. And I heard one of his albums that he put out himself. And he just has this amazing facility, but also he uses a facility in the service of his ideas, which are really interesting and brilliant, I think.
What do you mean by those ideas?
Well, you know, ideas, I like to, when I solo, I like to phrase. In other words, when you solo, you try to solo as, in my opinion, the best soloing are the kind of soloing where it emulates someone speaking, you know. In other words, there are things that are phrased and stop and start, you know, in ways that are surprising yet logical, you know, and I think he has all of that, you know. And another pianist is like Aaron Parks, who also impresses me. Jason Moran, and, you know, there's a lot of people who are out there who are really great.
Robert, just briefly, for folks who don't know a lot about jazz, what do you think is a good resource to plug in?
For one, WDET, and it's kind of hard to find, but I would frequent clubs like Cliff Bell's, Baker's. You have to find that real jazz, the guys that are really playing. And no synthesizers or anything like that.
Billy, really quickly, how do you find good jazz?
How do I find it? I kind of just accidentally bump into it, you know, and I don't know. I just, you know, find it on the radio or someone will turn me on to it. It usually finds me.
Well, on that note, we're going to end this interview and series with a jazz great you played with a couple times. He has a personal connection to News and Notes. Here is Grammy and Academy Award nominated trombonist and composer J.J. Johnson, who happens to be the grandfather of our director, Kenya Young. Billy Childs is a Grammy Award-winning jazz pianist. He joined us here in our NPR West studios. And singer-songwriter Robert MacArthur's debut album is That's Me. He joined us from the studios at Radio Broadcast Services in Royal Oak, Michigan. You can catch our entire jazz series on our website, nprnewsandnotes.org. Tomorrow we begin a new month-long series on addiction.